Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Selective Hearing. I'm your host, Julie DeMar, and this week I am here with Coach Tabitha Thorell. Me and Coach Tab, she told me I can call her my bestie Tab right before we got on, and then I said I'm going in for the name anyways, and I butchered it. So, hi, everyone. Welcome back to another week with me and my good friend Tab. We are going to talk about some really beautiful things today. Me and Tab are going to get into personal development and how you can tackle this journey. Tabitha, thank you for being here with me today.
Well, thank you so much, Julie, for inviting me. And yes, don't worry about the name. I mean, yes, names are important, but I'm more about the first name. You know, like just stick the first name and you're good to go.
Oh my gosh. So I love when I open up the show. It's crazy. I have these different things. You're my first interview since doing this masterclass a couple nights ago. So yeah. I did this podcast masterclass and now I have 10,000 things running through my head. Like they said, do this, they said, do that. And I told myself before I got on, like, don't do the things. And now I'm doing the things. So I'm going to stick to what I know.
Yes.
Which is giving you an opportunity to just share a little bit about yourself and your journey with the audience today.
Of course. Yeah. So I, like Julie said, I'm a coach, I'm a speaker, I'm a real estate investor, but really more importantly, I'm a wife and a mom to five beautiful daughters. Being a wife and being a mom for me is number one priority. Like those are my commitments. I just was listening to a podcast. I listen to a lot of speakers because I'm a speaker. So I love to listen to different speakers and different things as I work out. And they said, where are your commitments? Because I can look at your life. I can see where you're at right now, wherever you're at in your health and your relationship and your business. And I know what you're committed to. And I really thought about this because for me, I have been a real estate investor for almost 20 years. I have been a coach for almost 17 years or over 17 years. And me and my husband, we've always kind of done this entrepreneurial thing, right? For as long as we've been married. And so I was like, we always have that, you know, I want to reach seven figures or, you know, I want to reach this goal. And so when they said that today, I was like, oh, where are my commitments? Because I haven't hit all my goals, my check marks on the entrepreneurial. But I thought about it and I said, but really my commitments are to God because I'm a child of God and my husband and my kids. And I thought, you know what? You could take all the money away. You could take all of our businesses away. And as long as I have my family, my husband, like I'm rooted. And in all reality, as long as I just have God with me, who's my creator, like I'm good. I would way rather be solid in my relationship and be kind of chasing the other than the other way around. Because at the end of the day, if I die tomorrow, I'm good. But if I was reversed and I got all my financial success that I wanted and impact for other people, but I didn't have that person to share it with, I would be sad. And I'm really telling your audience this because look at your life, wherever you're at. If you're chasing a goal, if you're a visionary like me, a dreamer like me, and always wanting more, sometimes we forget that where we are is perfect. Where you're at is where you're meant to be at. If you're struggling, like really struggling, like no Tab, I don't have that and I want that. Switch your commitments. Switch that priority to the point of they could take everything else away and that one thing is all you really need to be grounded in. That took me a long time because I am an achiever by, you know, my strengths. I'm an achiever. I'm significance driven. I love to make an impact in people's lives. I go stir crazy. I'm determined. I'm persistent. And all of those things are great, but they can also be my Achilles heel. You know, that song, Never Enough, that's on The Greatest Showman. It's like, it's never enough. It's never enough. And in all reality, it is. Because I get to be a mom to these amazing girls. So many people will poo-poo the fact that we have five girls, but I love it. My husband loves it. We were called to be the parents to five girls. And my husband, I met in high school when I was 15 years old and I'm 38. So, I mean, we've been in it for a while and we've been in life. We've been in death and tragedy and things. And I love the business game. Like I love it. But it's a game to me. My life and where I'm rooted is in my husband and in my kids. And just as your listeners are, you know, hopefully staying tuned and continuing, it's not about me. It's about you. Where are you grounded in? Where do you feel like your commitments are solid, that you truly have made a commitment and a decision, which means to cut off from? Where have you decided I am doing this?
So I have like these little playlists on like Spotify and all that. where it's like the motivational speaker just comes right in and they just pull you right in and you're like, like, yeah, I'm getting on a treadmill now because I wasn't about to do it. And like, yeah, okay, yeah, I got this morning. Like, like, get up, girl, put your makeup on, let's do it. I feel like the way you came in so hot. Like, yep, everybody's sitting in the car, everybody's sitting in their cubicle, wherever you are listening to us today. I feel like Tab just pulled you right into her world and she has some things to say for you today. Because a lot of the things that I wanted to ask you about were about how you help women specifically with facing and recognizing their strengths and really like going after pursuing that their gifts, you know? So I want to ask you, like, how do you help people like just get in there and like, because we all have a gift, right? So how do you get in there and be like, hey girl, like this is, you see it, that's your thing, go after it.
I mean, I love this topic. So I'm so glad that you started with this because it is like one of my biggest joys in life is to talk with someone, anyone really. But like, yes, like you said, I have predominantly worked with women, but I've worked with men as well. And I think men get almost overlooked in this area because they're just supposed to provide. They're just supposed to make the money and bring it home. And that's really unfair. And I listened to this song this weekend, and I've actually heard it before, but I have all girls. So in our world, it's all female, right? I'm always trying to, how can I empower my daughters? How can I empower other women? But my husband is amazing, and I don't want to leave him in the dust of this female estrogen ride. And so I like to listen to other people. And one of my mentors, she has two sons. And so she talks a lot about like men and how to raise up strong men in this culture. But this song was What It Means to Be a Man. And it really is this heartfelt, and it's by Dax, DAX, if you guys want to look it up. He did a remake too with Darius Rucker, which I love because they're both different. They both have different perspectives of what it means to be a man. And it's like they have this silent in them that they are called for more than just a check, right? Like just the number signs. And so I think we forget that sometimes about men. And I, especially because I work with predominantly women. So what I'm about to say to you, if you're a man, if you're a woman, it really does matter. If your audience is predominantly women, hear this for your sons, hear this for your husbands as well, because they're not always going to tell you, because they're going to say they're fine. They're going to say that they're happy. They're going to say, it's okay. Like I have my seven-figure business or six-figure business, but are they really using their gifting? If you can find something in this world that will pay you for your gifting, awesome. I really would challenge you, like come to me and say, if you think your gifting can't make money, because I'll show you how to make money. Like I can show you how to take that gift and make money. But some people are good with not, like they like their job, you know, their job, but it's not necessarily what they're 100% gifted at. But let me put a definition out there, because people are like, what do you mean gifting? Because we look at gifts like if you're a genius or if you're really fast, you know, like athletic or an actor or whatever, like those are gifts. No, a gift is, and I believe I heard this from Steve Harvey, but it made it so simple. A gift is the thing that you do with the least amount of effort. So I'm going to say that again. It's the thing that you do with the least amount of effort. So you might not recognize that as a gift because it comes so easy to you. We think, oh no, we have to be like Michael Jordan and work 1,000 hours. Yes, to perfect the gift, to work on the skill sets of the gift. Yes, you have to work at that to sharpen that, but it comes easy to you. For example, I have always been gifted at speaking. Shocker. But when I was little, it was annoying. It annoyed adults because I would ask a lot of questions. I had a lot of energy. I would, you know, talk, 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 talk. And some adult that was struggling with their own insecurities or couldn't handle that, they told me I was too loud. I was annoying. I needed to shut up. They planted seeds of my gift. So I wanted to hide because I didn't want to be annoying. Because as much as my gifting was speaking, it was also to be significant. God put in me a desire to be significant in a positive way. I wanted to help people. And that's what I mean. Like if you have a desire to help people, whether that's like a nurse, a doctor, a teacher, a speaker, whatever that is, if you have that deep desire, that's put in you. That's a significance trait. And that's great because then you're going to pursue things that are going to impact people. You're not going to be like a lab analyst or a computer analyst or something like that. You're going to be put in a position to help people. And so I had this desire to help people, but other people told me I was loud, annoying, I should shut up. So then I didn't want to annoy them, people please. And so I quieted my voice and I learned how to be okay in social atmospheres. But what that did when I was an adult is I learned, oh, I can be loud in like my personality when I'm drinking, because that's okay. Because when somebody is drinking alcohol and you're at a party, they think you're fun. They think you're funny. You can dance and sing and do these things. And so I just trained myself like, okay, when I did this. Now, by the grace of God, I did not become an alcoholic, because my sister was an alcoholic. And so by the people he put in my life and just pursuing that, like, you're not too loud. You need to open your voice. And he just kept showing me. He was persistent and I listened. So you have gifts in you right now that might have been shut down because the world wasn't ready for it, or people couldn't handle it, or they couldn't handle your light. It was too bright because theirs wasn't enough. And that's a lot of times jealousy, what happens. And I'm teaching my girls about that right now, is like somebody else is going to cover your light because they don't know how to handle theirs. They don't know what they're unhappy with theirs. So they're going to shut yours, because that's easier than discovering their gift. Because when you give your gift, you're vulnerable. You are exposing yourself. So is it writing? Is it speaking? Is it, you know, having a podcast, a business? Is it opening a daycare? Is it like you're a really good baker, or maybe you're a really good listener, or you can heal people or work with the body or your interest? And it just comes naturally for you to learn those things and understand those things. So that's another part of your gifting. If it naturally comes easy for you to learn about it and explain it, and like you get passionate and riled up about it, that's a gift. And you were given the gift. But just like any gift, it has to be opened. And for most gifts, if it's a gift for a child per se, because again, I have 5 kids, it needs batteries. It needs the strings to be cut off. You need like a bolt cutter to get those things out. So it might take some work, a little bit of work there to get the gift completely out. But the gift is there. And it's not hard to open the gift, but it is a little bit more difficult to take the gift out and expose the gift. And you ask me how I get this. So I always ask people that question, like, what do you do with the least amount of effort? And then what gets you excited? Like, what could you really talk about? Like right now, my husband is very reserved. He is not a public speaker. He has this quiet determination about him. But if I ask him about toy tractors, the guy could like go on and on and on about him. Like, he just loves those, you know? And so it's not that he doesn't necessarily want to be a speaker. It's that you have to get him talking about, or like real estate investing. He loves real estate investing, but he does like all the research, all the numbers, and then he could tell you about that. And so it's just finding that thing inside of you that literally lights you up. You do it and it energizes you. It doesn't de-energize you. And finding that piece of the puzzle and asking yourself just those couple different simple questions will get you on the path with the gifts.
Oh my gosh, so many things you said. And I was just thinking like, oh my gosh. Because my nickname when I was little was Miss Talkie. And I was like the talk.
Look,
talk,
you're
talk,
your podcast
talk.
Host. Like, who knew? Podcast host.
And I said that before, like a few episodes back, like who would have thought that like after my voice got shut down and I opened it back up, that this is where it would be, because I've done so many things already. So it was like, who knew that this would be another landing spot? But it's a pretty cool landing spot.
Absolutely. And I mean, you did it. Like you said, who knew? Your creator knew. And he knew the things. And some of it too, I want people to realize, you have to forgive those people that like maybe planted that negative seed. Like, I've forgiven every teacher that ever told me I was too loud or too much or too whatever, because they only know what they know and they're at where they're at. And if you can forgive and let go, then you can reach that fullness of the gift. And also, it's a character builder. It's a humility builder too, because God doesn't want you to have this gift and be like, I'm all so great and this is me and look at me. Yes, we want to be confident, but like, I get my gifts from God. Like, I mean, there are some times when I talk on a podcast, most of the time, where I'm like, God, you give me the words, because I don't even know what we're going to talk about, but I'm going to trust that you're going to give me the right words, and you have prepared me and built my character along this way so that I am sharp enough to go on these podcasts and give wisdom and help somebody else, because that's what you've called me to do. And he's also shown me strength. So we go into gifts, you figure out what you're gift at. And then I recommend everybody do, I like the DISC personality test, because it is probably, I think, the most accurate. There's an anagram, but there's like 7 stages in that. And like, it gets a little hazy. I don't like that one. It's too complex. Like, we want simplicity. The DISC personality, you can go online, DISC personality, take the test. It's very simple, straightforward. I recommend you do it for you, your spouse, your kids. Like, the more you can know about their personality, the better you can help with communication. You can help with communication breakdown or arguments in families and in relationships. But knowing your DISC and then knowing your strengths. So like StrengthFinders 2.0, go online. You have like 5 top strengths. And I think there's like 70 or something. There's a lot. It's not just like you have 20. Like, there's a lot of different strengths. And when you read in them and really look at it and look at your life, sometimes the strengths will be stronger in different areas, like your area of like career or profession. You might have a little bit stronger strength. And then in your marriage, this strength might come out. But if you read it and you really look at your life, it makes sense. It's like doing one, like the dot to dot, it really links the dots and you're like, oh, well, that's why this didn't feel good. Or, oh, this is why I wanted to do that. Or, oh, this is why I got in an argument with my spouse because this, right? Like, mm-hmm. Whatever that hole for you is. For me, I want significance. And I've always kind of been stubborn. I never wanted to work for somebody else. So it makes sense that I wanted to be an entrepreneur and work for myself and do something that was like in the helping industry, like coaching and speaking, like motivation to really help people. So it makes sense when I do that. And then I don't feel wrong because we're in a world where it's really easy to compare. Social media, you get on it, you're like, oh, I'm not doing enough. I'm not enough. Oh, this, that, and the other thing. And I can say, no, my gifting combined with my strengths is right where I'm supposed to be. It's right where it's at. And my creator knew I needed those strengths. And then you look at the flip side. So there's 5 strong, like your 5 strengths, but then there's your 5 weaknesses. And I look at those and I think that's where I hire out in my business. Or that's where if I get in some sort of quarrel in a relationship, I look at my weaknesses and I said, ooh, that really pulled from that. I don't use it as an excuse, but I look at it for understanding. So I think that's the difference. We cannot excuse our behavior from our personality or strengths. Like, bad behavior is bad behavior. I don't care. You can't say like, oh, I'm a D personality, so it's fine. No. You know you're a D personality. So that means stop being a jerk and learn to personality flex and learn what it means to be an S, which is more sensitive type personality. And so if you have somebody in your life, like your daughter's an S and the dad is a D, it's his job to have an understanding of what that means. So instead of using it as an excuse, we use it as leverage in our relationships and to advance our businesses instead of that excuse. And so you can really use that as fuel and jet fuel to ignite your relationships and even in health. So I started in fitness. So when you take this, you know, like, I am a personality type of this and the DISC, and I personality is somebody who is high influence. They're high energy. They love people, party. I'm an I, like, I love, you know, that type of stuff, but they can also be really excited to start and not so excited to finish because they don't know the details. So if you're someone who like started that diet plan and were so excited and got the gym clothes and, you know, the new shoes and that, you know, all the stuff, and then a week later you quit and then you beat up yourself like, oh, I knew I could never do it. No, say, okay, that's my personality, but I'm going to commit. I'm going to go beyond my personality. I'm going to look at my weaknesses and how can I interject maybe people or resources or habits that stop that from happening. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So we use it as jet fuel and not what hinders us or shackles.
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that in the show notes for this interview at the end. I'm going to put the personality thing in there so everybody can take it after they listen. So
everybody you can find should do out. It's so worth it. And I think DISC is free, I know. And StrengthFinders, it's super cheap. Honestly, I have used that so much. Oh man, it's so worth it. It's so worth it to know yourself and like become aware. Again, you can't fix what you don't know, but when you know certain things, and I'm only saying this to the person that wants to uplevel their life. If you want any area of better in your life, it is worth it. If you're like, no, I'm good, I don't care to get better, then don't worry about it. But if you're someone like me who always has a desire every day to become better, a better version of myself, even just a little millimeter, the more you know about yourself, the more you can, first of all, celebrate yourself instead of beat up yourself. Because when you know your strengths and you gifting and you've lived in them, you can celebrate yourself, which you should do. But you can also look at those areas that aren't so great and you can find a way out. So if you feel stuck or frustrated in a point of your life, whether that's finances, business, relationship, or health, and you feel stuck and you're like, I can't do this anymore. I'm sick of arguing with my kids. I'm sick of arguing with my spouse, or I'm sick of the high blood pressure, the diabetes, can't fit into my pants. I feel summer's coming up. I can't wear a swimming suit. If you are to the breaking point, you will do this. Stop buying the next diet class, stop buying the next communication class on whatever. It will do nothing for you if you don't know how you're going, you yourself are going to receive that information. You have to date yourself, like date yourself first and then get the resources, and they will make so much more sense. And you will get so much more out of those programs when you know you first.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like I said in the beginning, I did this masterclass the other day, this podcast masterclass, and it was like almost 3 hours long. And I was sitting there and I was like, I did that. I'm doing that. I'm doing this. And then they were saying, like, they would say, like, well, you need to do this. You need to be consistent with yourself. You need to know yourself, all these different things. And I'm like, just like as they're rolling on, I'm like, yeah, I went through that. I did that. I'm doing this. So it was like, by the time I got to the end, like they did drop a couple things in there that obviously I'm going to apply.
Yeah.
But I like told my husband, I was like, I'm doing everything. So what's next? Like, do I go find like the other masterclass that's supposed to help me like really monetize this thing? Because like they already told me everything that I'm doing and I figured a lot of that out by myself. And he was like, I guess like, like, let's go research it. Like, I guess.
Right. Well, and then like, you know, you're on the right path. Like you're taking the steps and now you need to up level instead of, you know, looking at that, like, okay, this is anchoring what I'm doing. And it's not a waste. Like, so I know I'm doing the right steps, but there's another level.
Yeah.
Or looking at it too, like, okay, I am doing this, but what if I could shift? Like, am I doing it this way? Like, what if I just do one little shift? Like, I'm an all or nothing personality. Like, I'm really like, yeah, go for it. But what I've learned, especially the last 5 years, is the 1 millimeter shift. When you do the 1 millimeter shift, you go here, right? And you shift once. By the end of it, when you go out, it's clear over here. So it could be one little thing that you do with your podcast and, you know, that consistency, like whatever that is. I run a podcast too. I didn't put that in the beginning because I just started in January. So I run a podcast and honestly, I did it because it's called What Went Wrong? The Untold Stories of Bouncing Back from Failure. And why I did that was because we're in a season of recession, whatever you want to call it. We're in the dark days and we go through this. Like if you look at tests of times, we go through depression, recession, like all that stuff. But whenever it happens, people feel like it's never going to get better. And it is. And so I wanted to share people's stories where they failed like miserably. What are, you know, like they almost didn't bounce back. Some of them were like addicts. Some of them like had a stroke and were about to die. Some, you know, some of them, it was like their business tanked or whatever, but it's like how they got out of that to move forward. And all I cared about when I started this podcast was I just want to get the voice out there. I don't even necessarily care about monetizing it right now. My goal was to get these stories out there and how we can do that. Now we're about 4 months in and I'm kind of like you. I'm like, I'm restless. I'm like, all right, well, let's, how can we make this better? And I'm constantly asking my husband, I'm like, does it sound okay? Is the audio good? Like, are my questions good? Like, you know, and because I want it better, you want it better. That's great. That's a characteristic. That's a strength. Now utilize that and how you can set yourself apart from every other thousands of podcasts that there are, getting crystal clear on what goal. So now I know with my podcast, like, okay, now it's time to up level. Like we've been doing it some months now and we're kind of getting some traction. How can we start ranking? Like, how can we be sought out? Like those type of things. Cause I didn't really focus on that before and I was okay with that. So you have to look at your focus and your goal and say, what do I want to see happen with this? And how can I use my gifts and my strengths instead of comparing yourself and listening to all the other podcasts? They have different strengths than you. They have different gifts than you. You're not meant to be their podcast. You are meant to be Julie's podcast, Selective Hearing. Like that is what you were called to do. And so it's so easy to get distracted by other people, but stay in your lane and do what you're called to do and it will get there faster.
I waited a long time too. We are like a little over the 1 year mark for the actual podcast. So it's like, I waited a long time before I even started, you know, exploring other things. But I just thought when you were talking, I was thinking about that, like, yeah, I applied all those things to the thing. And it does take time. It does take time. And that's one thing that I like to share on the show a lot too, is like, there's no microwave here. We're not going to pop in and pop out brand new. Like, we got to just keep working and working at everything. So it kind of brings me into that balance between self-improvement and self-acceptance. And as a coach, like, how you help people with that. And I also wanted to add another piece in there, which is as they're going through that process with accepting themselves and improving themselves, helping them see their image, the image of self, in a more positive light.
So I think the more you know about yourself, the more you can have that acceptance. Because when you know, like, okay, like, those are my triggers. Like, this is, again, we use this as an education, like a study of me, not as an excuse. Like, okay, so I know I'm wired this way. So it also allows me to forgive myself. Me and my husband, we renovate and we do stuff. And so we love Chip and Joanna Gaines, which, if your audience knows who they are, there, I always look at Joanna and she's like this sweet soul that like decorates, and she has five kids too. And I'll see myself and I have to continually tell myself, you're not Joanna Gaines and you weren't meant to be. And your kids don't need you, Joanna Gaines, as their mom. They need Tabitha Thorell. Like, that is why you are their parent. So it allows myself to forgive myself, but here's where the self-improvement comes in. But it's not okay for me to lose my temper. It's not okay to raise my voice when it doesn't need to be raised. Like, there's sometimes, yes, but like, you know, if I just react instead of respond, like, that's not okay. That's where the self-improvement comes in. I say, if you know the difference between conviction and condemnation. So when you condemn somebody, you condemn them, like, in the biblical sense, it's like, you know, condemning them to hell because of what they did. Like, you shame, guilt, those are like condemning somebody. You should be ashamed of yourself. Why don't you feel guilty? That's condemning. Never do that. That is not anything. No. But there's a conviction here where you, when you do something wrong, right? Like, you know, it was wrong and you kind of did it anyway. And you just have that little nudge of like, oh, darn it, I shouldn't have done that. You know, jokingly, it's when you eat an Oreo on a diet, you know, you're like, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Right. As opposed to, you're a fat cow because you ate that Oreo. You should be ashamed and lock yourself in the bathroom. Right. See that difference? Mm-hmm. And what a lot of times I see with women is they condemn themselves. They think, I did that thing. That's who I am. So I might as well just give up on my dreams and my gifts because I am that horrible person. They'll go from here to like, okay. And then they might listen to a motivational podcast or think, like, no, I love myself. I am great. I am awesome. I do this, right? They say the affirmations, but they don't do the work for the improvement to become that person that doesn't talk to themselves that way. And so a lot of people say self-care, I say soul care. Like, how are you caring for your soul? Are you forgiving yourself? Are you listening to things, you know, whether that's a podcast, book, whatever, that are going to pull you towards the positive, to want to become a better human being? Because humans in nature, we're lazy. We're, you know, self-driven. Like, by nature, we're selfish and we want it easy and we want all those things. But goodness does not come from that. God created us and put us on earth to build character. That's the whole reason why we're here. That's the only reason why we're work. And if your audience is not like biblically based, like, just think about everything. Like, why else do you work? Like, yes, to get money to buy things that fill a void. No, you work to build character. Like they said, it's not the destination, it's the journey. So if you're building your character through the process, same goes for, you know, how you talk to yourself. And that's the self-improvement. So you accept where you are, but you don't settle there. It's like, I am completely content with my life, but I'm not satisfied with just sitting here because there's so much life going on and every day I want to be content. Well, content is not doing nothing. Content is doing the things that God has gifted you to do at the highest value. And at the end of the day, saying, well done. That's what content is, because our energy in our world, it's always this way. We're never here. If you don't build a muscle, it goes into atrophy. It doesn't stay the same. You have to continually build it. Same goes for our mental. Like if you're not actively putting positive things and being like, I want to do better. But the reason behind it, the motive behind it is probably the most important. Why do you want to become more? Why do you want to be better? Is it because you're trying to fill some wounds or hurts from being a child and maybe you were molested or abused, as a young child or an adolescent, and you're trying to heal those wounds and you're trying to be enough, pretty enough, thin enough, skinny enough, make enough money because of those wounds? Or are you literally trying to be the best version of yourself because you want to be a vessel for good for other people, for your children, for your spouse, for your community? See the difference there? It's like if you're constantly trying to heal a wound that needs to literally be cut open and re-healed, you're just going to be putting, you know, like a bandaid on a hemorrhage. Like you have to open up that wound and be vulnerable and go to that place, heal it. And then that need to be better is just because you've healed and you want to heal other people. When you forgive, you want to teach people how to forgive because you know how good it feels. So you do this as a way, as a butterfly effect, which is what we all really on this world should be. Like wherever you're at, it should always be so you can go back and help the other people get there too, in whatever area, health, wealth, or relationships.
I agree so much. That's why I started sharing my story, even though I was Hot Mess Express when it first started coming out. It got better over time. And
it's good. You shared your story and it became other people's. You know, I always say the story, when it happens to you, it's not about you anymore. You have to share it as if it's not even you. And I know that's really hard. It's easier said than done, especially when some stuff is really, really vulnerable or really fresh. It's really hard to like share it, but it's helping somebody. Mm-hmm. And inevitably, you can make the beauty from ashes when you do that.
I agree. The best thing that I heard someone say to me was, please don't butcher this. She said to me, you living your life will grant someone else permission to live theirs.
Yep.
I have to make sure I get that right every single time.
No, you did. Because it's important. I've heard that. Yep. I've heard that for sure. It's yep. Yep. And that's, people are looking at you. But we, per nature, look at the naysayers. But I'm like, cut them out, because they're not seeing the true light. They're not seeing your strength. Like people are not, here's the thing. People are not always going to like your gifts. Mm-hmm. They're just not. That's okay. And it took me a long time. If you are a recovering people pleaser, this is going to make you so uncomfortable. Because even your spouse might not be okay with your gifts if you're just now tapping into them. They might be like, well, what do you mean you're staying up an extra hour to write? Like, you never wrote before. That's weird. Or what do you mean you're going on a podcast and talking? Like, you've never done that before. That's weird. You know, change. Somebody said, or I was listening, Les Brown said, change is hard. And in my head, change isn't hard. It's inevitable. Change is actually really easy because it just happens. Positive change is hard. Looking at somebody, if you are stuck in your life and you're kind of miserable and somebody else is changing for the better, that human nature comes up, that jealousy, that comparison. Like, how dare you change for the better? Like when I'm here. And a lot of times it's because they don't know, they're not self-aware. Sometimes people don't even know that they're being jealous. And really it's coveting, which is different than jealousy. You can be jealous of somebody like, ooh, I really want that car. Like that's jealousy, like, ooh. But coveting somebody is wishing them harm because of their success. So I can forgive anybody who's jealous of anything I do, because like that's human nature, right? Like, oh, I want that haircut. I want that shirt. I want this, you know, want that. When you hope I do bad because you're so miserable in your life, I rebuke that. God will not let that come to fruition in my life, because that is their toxic. That doesn't have to be your story. So I'm just telling you this because there's going to be people in your life that don't love your gifts and they might find them annoying. People thought I was annoying. People, you might be on here like, okay, Tab, stop talking. My goodness sakes, it's been like 45 minutes. Like, holy cow. But there's going to be somebody that says, oh my gosh, Tab, what you said really ignited me. And thank you. And that's who I'm speaking to. That one person. Now, I always thrive to get better. So I'm always asking for feedback. So please put feedback in the comments. Don't be too negative, Nelly, because I probably won't read them. But if you have constructive feedback and wisdom, here's something else I learned. Your opinion means nothing. because you have no experience behind it. When you give wisdom, that means you have experience behind it and it's worth something. So next time you want to give your opinion, ask yourself, do I have the wisdom behind that to make it worth something? Because otherwise it's just me talking and nobody really cares. But if you have wisdom, like I went through that, here's what I learned. That's way more powerful.
Mm-hmm. And everybody, if you do want to get in the comments and let Tabitha know how you feel about this conversation, and you do let that negative Nancy start typing for you, I delete comments. So yeah, she's not going to see them and neither will I. I don't like people arguing. It doesn't happen like that now, but in the beginning it used to, because everybody was home with COVID and all that stuff.
And everybody has an opinion.
And I would delete it because I didn't want the people going back and forth with each other. Like I wouldn't want the energy there. So I'll delete it so no one can respond to it. And they never got a chance. And I kind of like that format. And other people out there who are listening, who have shows or social media, you should try it too. It's really effective.
Yes.
So I would like to talk a little bit about confidence and resilience, because I feel like this all ties into what we're talking about today. The challenges and, you know, our little setbacks on this self-discovery journey. So like when we're getting in there and we're tapping into our gifts, what advice do you have about reaching in there and maintaining your confidence and that resilience?
So confidence is gained by doing. That's it. Especially if you're new to your gifts or like you kept them dormant for a long time. It's actually probably not that you're not new. Again, I'm guessing somebody told you it was wrong to be gifted in that. And so you didn't. Maybe somebody your whole life has been like, you know, your cheerleader and you kind of knew it, but it was just a vulnerable gift like speaking or writing and you just weren't ready for it or confident in it. You felt like maybe somebody told you like, you're not confident. There was some lie that was planted if you're not using your gifts right now and you're discovering them. So confidence only comes by doing. There's no shortcut to it. I'm sorry. Yes, you can affirm yourself. Yes, you can, you know, be like, I am strong. I am powerful. And that helps rewire a little bit of the subconscious. But you know what helps like streamline it? right to the jugular is doing, because you're going to affirm yourself, affirm it. You're going to want to get started to do the thing to get started. And you're going to say the things for like a really long time. And pretty soon your subconscious is going to go, no, you're not. Cause your subconscious is smart and it's there to protect you. But when you do it and you say, no matter what the outcome, even if I go on a Facebook Live and nobody watches, I did it. And that's the victory. I just, by doing it is the victory. That is the accomplishment. Because did you know that your brain does not know what is real and what's not? So if you tell yourself the accomplishment is in the doing, you will feel accomplished. So you will feel like I am doing it. I am getting better by just doing this. It's when we start doubting and the fear, that's when the confidence kind of goes down. And you hear this even in singers that will be like number one, like Shania Twain was like one of the top leading singers cross between country and pop in the late 90s. Like phenomenal. People were like banging down the door. And then she had some stuff in her personal life happen. And then she had some stuff in her health happen. And she literally couldn't sing. Like her voice, her subconscious was like blocking her from singing. If you've ever watched her documentary, like it blocked her from singing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like you could belt it out. Like you had all these accolades and it was a confidence thing. Like she stopped doing what she was called to do and that fear and doubt came in. So doing the thing and continually to do the thing, don't listen to the naysayers, listen to the positive, like take feedback, develop your skill, all of those things. Like you'll hear this say, the worst thing in the world is when an opportunity comes and you're not prepared for it. Like prepare for the opportunity as if it's coming to you tomorrow. And so I try to get on as many speaking engagements as I can, because if I have a desire to be on, you know, a bigger stage, I need to be prepared for it. And I love speaking. I love giving wisdom. So why wouldn't I do it? Even if it's an audience of one, even if it's just the person who interviews me, I advance their life or what, you know, what have you, looking at those victories as like, that's an accomplishment. Like I'm building my business. I sold one program today. It was $37. Like just doing the thing that you're called. If you're a painter, like just painting anything and everything, like doing it for free, doing it for fun. And whatever that calls you to do, it should ignite you. So it shouldn't de-energize you. So you should want to do it. That's a key indicator. That's going to build the confidence. Don't build your confidence by what other people think of you. I posted this on my social media, well, today, but when you post this, it'll be a few weeks later, but it says, don't let the opinions of others determine who you're going to become, or and I said this to the graduates, like somebody in high school told you that you couldn't do this thing. Why does their opinion of you matter of what you want to do if that's what you're called to do? Women, especially, we like to hide behind like, I'm not pretty enough. I don't have social presence. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not like so-and-so. I'm not like so-and-so. I can't do that. And those are just lies. And the enemy wants you to keep you there. So if you want to just like fuel the enemy, whether you believe in the devil or just bad energy, yin, yang, whatever, like whatever that is, like if you want to keep fueling the opposing side, then stay stuck. Like keep your gifts hidden and stay where you're at and stay miserable because they're happy. But if you want to break through it, there's going to be opposition. For all my Christians out there, the devil does not want you to succeed. So he's going to keep you down. So if you know, if you're coming against all this opposition, I smile because I'm like, yes, I know I'm doing something good. Like, ooh, it's going to get good. Like something good is going to happen. And like, bring it on, right? And that was a resilience thing that I had to develop because I'm significant driven. So I had to build this, like I'm significant for the people that I am called to be significant to. The sheep will hear my voice. The other ones will not, and that's okay. And I think that's the hardest thing because most of us are recovering people pleasers or people pleasers. Like, even if people say, I don't give a crap about this, or I don't care what people think. Again, like I said at the beginning of the show, with the commitments, look at your life and I'll be able to tell you if you're a people pleaser. It really will. Because if you have kept your dreams dormant, if you have kept your gifts dormant, you're a people pleaser. And there's nothing wrong with that, except for the fact that you're not aware of it and you need to change it. And I always say, like, I'm a recovering people pleaser because I still find myself wanting to please people, but not as much. And I catch it and I'm aware. And so then I think, how can I change this? Why am I trying to please that person? Is it an internal thing? Is it to make them feel comfortable? I really like to make other people feel comfortable. So like, am I doing it for that reason? Is that keeping them dormant? You know, I analyze those things. So I encourage your audience to look at that too. Like, why am I people pleasing? And I do it with my daughters, my oldest daughter, I'll do something. And then I'm like, no, that's not training up the child. Like, I can't please her. She's 14. You know, what she wants to do right now is not necessarily good for her. And I can see that. So then I have to step in as mama bear, but I don't have to go the opposite side. I don't have to do like things that displease her, you know, just to be the parent, but looking at all of those and building up that resilience is by doing. So confidence and resilience are only accomplished only by doing. You cannot build resilience by sitting on your couch, scared to write that book, start that business, go on a date, or do the diet. You can't build any of that. You can't build it unless you do it. And then once you do it, that's when it comes.
I have the big show question for you.
Yes.
Because I feel like that everything just, the way that everything just happened today, the flow of it all, the energy of it all, like there's no better lead in than what you just said. So now I have to ask you, what does selective hearing mean to you?
You know, you asked me this question when we first did this like a few months ago or whatever. And, you know, selective hearing, when I first heard it, it's hearing what you need to hear to uplevel your life to where you need to go. But unfortunately, I think we selectively hear the negative to confirm our own fears and doubts about ourselves to make ourselves right.
It's so crazy that you said that too, because I just did a solo recording before this where I was talking about my history of self-sabotage and how overcoming self doubt and negative self-talk, what that looks like for me, even still to this day, like it's a whole thing. So yeah, it is. And I said that that negative narrator that lives in me, she always has a strong case to present in court to give me reason not to continue. But yeah. I've learned to be like, hey, girl, get in the back seat, put that seatbelt on. I got this. So yep. Yeah, I feel like everything today just kind of, yeah, Tab came in hot. And I hope you guys enjoyed everything that she said just as much as I did, because wow, like she touched me today. So I hope that you're feeling so much better after hearing this conversation, and listen to it again, send it to a friend. So can you tell everyone how they can connect with you?
Yeah. So you can go to tabtherell.com. That's where we're always kind of changing our programs. Right now, I have a very big mission of helping families build legacy wealth, teaching your kids the characteristics of what it means about money, wealth, income, but also investing, like investing in income properties for your family so that you can create wealth and keep it for generations to come. And so that's keeplegacywealth.com, but you can get to that from my basic website as well. And I'm sure you'll have it in the show notes, but that is really, we're starting a membership group where people can come in and just share their insights. And because I know investing for people is scary. They're like, I don't know. And it seems, you know, they have all this fear behind it and they're not confident enough to do it. And we just laid out really simple. I am not a jargon. I'm not a real estate agent. I am not like a financial planner. I don't use the jargon. We share what has built our wealth for the last 20 years and where we're going and what we would have liked somebody to teach us when we first started, because it is such a world of jargon. And even escrows, like some people just don't even know like what all this is. And we just want to simplify it. And we want to make it really easy for people, even if you don't have no money down, like how you can invest in your future. And the best and easiest way to do that is in real estate. So we teach people how to do that. And of course, I just love to pour into people. So I can't just do it like numbers and investing. Like we're going deep into like the characteristics of how you can communicate with your kids and teach them this. Because if you are an entrepreneur, you are not building a business so that your kids can squander it, or so that you can miss all the moments with your kids, or you can look back and they say, all I wanted was time with you. I could care less about this business. No, thank you. And I see those things and it breaks my heart, because that is not why an entrepreneur starts a business. And so we just help bridge that gap, build strong families and make it fun and cut the shackles of scarcity and like let money be abundant. And so that's my real big passion project. I'm on Instagram. Give me some Instagram love. I need some followers. I'm so bad at Instagram because I'm in all my other businesses. And so I'm like, I try to give love of like advice, and I'm Coach Tab on TikTok. That's new. I need to let my daughters like take over my TikTok because they do awesome with it. And I just don't. We're Coach Tab at TikTok and Tabitha Thorell on Facebook. Friend me. I try to put, you know, wisdom and help people. And you can direct message me if you have questions on that. And I'm pretty much an open book. So, oh, and What Went Wrong, the podcast, check it out. We got some good players on there. Like if you are in a place right now, or if you're like me, I am kind of a documentary junkie. Like I love hearing biographies of people. So that's kind of this, but they're short. They're like 20 to 30 minutes. So it's just like, bam, it's like a little vitamin for you. It's just like, oh, they went through that. I can go through this. I love hearing those stories. So check us out, rate us on any podcast platform and YouTube. So we do video too.
Okay. And I will put all that in the show notes, and it will be on the resource page at selectivehearingshow.com, everyone. So now you have three ways that you got this information. So there is absolutely no excuse for you not to go check out Tab.
Yes.
And I want to thank you so much for being here with me today.
Yes. Thank you so much, Julie. It's been so fun.
I really enjoyed our conversation. I did. I was like quiet, because I was like, wow. Like, yeah, I feel that. Yeah. It was one of those moments again. Like, yeah, I've been there. And like I said, you came in hot and ready. So like,
good.
All the feel goods are there. So everyone, until next week, this is Selective Hearing.